Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you why I love the Lord. He's so dear to me. Oh, he died that I might be free. I was asked this question years ago, and the answer is no. Now the question is, the question is,
feel it in the atmosphere, the spirit of the Lord.
Good evening, podcast family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, and this is the Messenger Edition. I am Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Lon Hodge. And next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in tonight. I thank you once again, Nurse Carmen, for that lovely introduction. Tonight, I just wanted to touch on a fact that question I was asked, what are we to do about the less fortunate? And first, you have to decide who and what you are in relationship to them. Second, you decide you wish to experience yourself as being secure, as being helped, as being loved and compassionate and caring, then look to see how you can be the best of those things. And notice that your ability to be those things has nothing to do with what others are being or doing. Sometimes the best way to love someone and the most help you can give is to leave them alone or empower them to help themselves. It is like a feast. Life is a smorgasbord, and you can give them a little helping of themselves. Remember that the greatest help you can give a person is to wake them up, to remind them of who they really are. There are many ways to do this. Sometimes with a little bit of a help, a push, a shove, a nudge, and sometimes with a decision to let them run their course, follow their path, walk their walk, to mention from you. All parents know about this choice and agonize over it daily. What you have the opportunity to do for the less fortunate is to remind them, that is, cause them to be of a new mind about themselves. And you, too, have to be of a new mind about them. For if you see them as less fortunate, they will. Jesus' great gift was that he saw everyone as who they truly are. He refused to accept appearance. He refused to believe what others believed of themselves. He always had a higher thought, and he always invited others to it. Yet, he also honored where others choose to be. He did not require them to accept his high idea, merely held it out as an invitation. He dealt, too, with compassion. And if others choose to see themselves as being needing assistance, he did not reject them for their faulty assessment, but allowed them to love their reality and lovingly assist them in playing out their choice. For Jesus knew that for some, the path to who they are was the path through who they are not. He did not call this an imperfect path and thus condemned it. Rather, he saw this too as perfect, and thus of everyone in being just who they wanted to be. Anyone, therefore, who asked Jesus to help received it. He denied no one, but was always careful to see that the help he gave support a person's full and honest desire. If others genuinely sought enlightenment, honestly expressing readiness to move to the next level, Jesus gave them the strength, the courage, the wisdom to do so. He held himself out, and rightly so, as an example and encouraged people, if they could do nothing else, to have faith in him. He would not, he said, lead them astray. Many did put their faith in him. And to this day, he helps those who calls upon his name, for his soul is committed to waking up those who seek to be fully awake and fully alive in God. Yet Christ had mercy on those who did not. He therefore rejected self-righteousness, and as does his Father in heaven, made no judgment ever. Jesus' idea of perfect love was to grant all persons exactly the help they requested. After telling them the kind of help they could get, he never refused to help anyone, and least of all would he do so out of a thought that you made your bed, now lie in it. Jesus knew that if he gave people the help they asked for, rather than merely help he wanted to give, that he was empowering them at the level at which they were ready to receive empowerment. This is the way of all great masters, those who have walked on earth in the past and those who are walking it now. Now, they say, well, I'm a little confused. When is it disempowering to help others? When does it work again rather than for or another's growth? When your help is offered in such a way that it creates continued dependency rather than rapid independence, when you allow others in the name of compassion to begin to rely on you rather than rely on themselves. This is not compassion, this is compulsion. You have a power compulsion, because that sort of help is really power tripping. Now, this distinction can be very subtle here, and sometimes you don't even know you are power tripping. You really believe you are simply doing your best to help another. Yet, be careful that you are not simply seeking to create your own self-worth. For to the extent that you allow other people, to that extent, you have allowed them to make you powerful. And that, of course, makes you feel worthy. Yet, this kind of help is an aphrodisiac which seduces the weak. The goal is to help the weak grow strong, not to let the weak become weaker. This is the problem with many government assistance programs, for they often do the latter rather than the former. Government programs can be self-perpetuating. Their objective can be very as to help those they are meant to assist. If there were a limit to all government assistance, people would be helped when they genuinely needed help, but could not become addicted to help, substituting it for their own self-reliance. Government understands that help is power. That is why government offers as much help to as many people as they can get away with. For the more people government help, the more people help the government. Whom the government supports the government. Now, then you say, then there should be no redistribution of wealth. Communist manifesto is satanic. Of course, there is no Satan, but I understand what they were trying to say. The idea behind the statement, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need, is not evil, it is beautiful. It is simply another way of saying you are your brother's keeper. It is the implementation of this beautiful idea that can only become ugly. Sharing must be a way of life, not an edict imposed by government. Sharing should be voluntarily, not forced. Sharing should be voluntary, not forced. So it's something that we need to truly think about. We are here to help one another. Why are we here to help one another? Because we are one. for us to understand that what I do to you, I also do to myself. Jesus said, when he spoke of how you have fed the hungry, all of these things you've done for him, because we are one.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to the government or anything like that, but I just want to leave you with this. And I've said this on many podcasts, but I need to repeat this. There are no such things as the Ten Commandments. God's law is no law. There is something you cannot understand. This is something that you cannot understand. God requires nothing. God does not observe that anarchy, the absence of government, rules, regulations, or limitations of any kind would work. Such an arrangement is only practical in advanced beings, which I do not observe human beings to be. On some level, governance is going to be required to our race evolves to the point where you naturally do what is naturally right. It is important for us to understand all that we need to know, all that we need as far as guidance and regulations. It is within us. We have got to get back to being natural. Being natural is the ability to love. You are naturally loving. You are naturally loving. Do you notice how whenever there is any kind of major in the world, how all of a sudden everyone is able to put aside their differences? How they're able to just come together, no one seeing color, no one is seeing sex, no one is seeing anything different but the love. And that is who we naturally are, loving. And so I just want to leave this with you tonight. Now, tonight, I was really going to go in a different direction, but Spirit just wanted me to let you know that it is and always has been love. And now when I spoke about the less fortunate, they are to be loved as well. We have a tendency to look at certain people and frown on them for whatever reason. They're a drug addict. They're an alcoholic. They're a prostitute. All of these different reasons we look at people, and if we're not careful, what we are doing is judging. What we are doing is determining that our life is so much better than theirs. Tonight, just to let you know that that is a false thinking. That is false thinking. When we see someone down, we see that person down. What we should see is ourselves down. And if we see it is ourselves that is down, then we would have that grace and mercy to be of assistance. And remember, just a little while ago, we spoke about assisting. We spoke about helping, not to the point where we have the power and we are in control, but we are being a help to lift up our brothers and sisters. For the grace of God that is within you, that you are able to understand who and what you are. So I want to leave you tonight with just the thought of knowing how important each and every one of us are. We are all messengers. We all have a word that we can share. God has no respect of person. He has no respect of person. Why? Because God is in all of us. Even that one, that least that you think, there is no way that the God is in them. Trust me, that person could not be without God. God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So when you really look at what Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, you will see that God is the all of everything. And the all of everything includes each and every one of us. There is no difference. And in order for us to truly know that, we have to go with, because as long as we stay without, what we're doing is we're looking at the color of someone's skin, the length of someone's hair, the color of somebody's eyes. We're looking at everything except what we really need to be looking at, and that is the soul. The soul connecting one to another, realizing that we are one. Now, I just want to ask a question. Has anyone ever really, really, really taken a moment to look into the eyes of an animal? That animal is your pet, your beloved one. Look into their eyes. And when they see you, they don't love you because of the color of your skin. God is in that animal as well. And so we've got to begin to see anything that has life is part of God. And it's important for us to start consciously looking at things this way. We have to retrain our mind, renew the mind, remind the mind of who we are. And so the same way we reminded the mind of who we aren't, we now have to retrain ourselves. We have to retrain ourselves to know that we are not born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That we are, each day, you need to start working on that. Just slowly but surely. Then it will come naturally to you. I can do all things through the Spirit of God that dwells in me. And to be, if you don't believe that, you can stop for a moment and think about it. You have done all things through the Spirit of God that lives within you. I know everyone got a story that they can tell that I don't know how I made it through this or how I made it through that or how I did this or did that. Because me alone, there is no way I could have done that. But just because of what it is that is within me. Didn't leave you. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And what we need to do is start relying and trusting the Word of God. And you want to know the Word of God? The Word of God is not, quote unquote, what you read in the Bible. Those are words that people have experienced from God. But if you want to know the Word of God, go within. Now, please let me just back up for a second just so that I can tell you that there is nothing wrong with the Holy Scriptures. And whether you want to believe it or not, you can read Scriptures. Once you go within, because God will be talking to you. And you can put it to pen or pad, what it is that he's saying. It might be what he's calling for you to do. So we've got to get out of that the preacher, the priest, the rabbi, the whatever, knows God and got a better connection to God than you do. Because I've got to tell you, it's just not so. I know we've been taught that all of our lives, but if you don't believe it, have a talk with God. This is now my new theme song by Brother Stevie Wonder, Have a Talk with God, because it is so, so, so critical to our thinking. Stevie Wonder wrote this song about 20 years ago, if not more. It's telling us he lives within. And I'm here tonight saying the exact same thing, that God resides within you. All good and perfect God. So when you give that good gift that someone is just joyful over, regardless to what it is, because we're not putting limitations on God. But just know all good and perfect gifts come from God. You might have got somebody a gift, and it was really what they wanted, and it was a nice gift. Now, it might have been off of the mainstream of what other people might have gotten them or gotten her. But if the person that you gave that gift to, and when I say gift, I don't necessarily mean a present. Just a gift that you gave from within you. Something within you said, do this or give this or be here or anything. And this is what we've got to be able to open up our hearts and our minds that we can better understand. We've been shackled into this religious type of thinking, and we're missing out on the abundance and the glory of God. We're missing out on the abundance and the glory of ourselves. There's a lot of things that we all would like to do, but we don't want to do. Why? Because they told us that it wouldn't be pleasing to God. But I'm here to tell you that God is pleased with whatever you do. Why? Because while you're doing it, God is doing it with you. And please know, what you call bad, God doesn't call bad. What you call good, God doesn't call good. God sees the joy in the creation. You creating who you are. Because as you create who you are, what you are doing is letting God experience itself experientially. All this body that houses the Spirit of God is here to do, to allow God to experience itself being God. Now, I know that might be a little deep for you, but when you really start to think about it, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, when we say fullness, I'm not a scholar. I'm not. But fullness means, to the best of my ability, full. Or, to the best of my knowledge, means everything. That's what all means. Now, you can't say all and leave some out, because then it's not all. But I just wanted us to think about what we said tonight. I want us to go within. Important in order for the true understanding, for you to be able to understand where it is that I'm trying to show you the way to. The way that I'm trying to show you, it's not my way, because all I'm trying to do is allow you to allow yourself to reunite with the God that's within you. This is our problem for far too long. A lot of the things that we go through, why? Because we didn't stop to to have that talk with God so that God could be your help you make your choices. And I think sometimes we're afraid for God to help us with our choices because we think it's the wrong thing. But I got to tell you right now, if you're thinking it's the wrong thing already, guess what? God has spoken to you and let you know it's not right. But there's been some things that people have told you God isn't happy with, but you still go ahead and do those things. And there's some things that you just don't do anymore. What I want us to understand is that we have power. We have, I would say, God on our side. Now, that doesn't make you more special or different than anyone else. It just lets you know that, once again, you can do all things. Why? Because Christ resides in you. And I say Christ because God and Jesus are one, the same as you and Jesus are one. You and God are one. You remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast tonight. And I'm going to take us out with my new theme song.
There are people who have left the problems of today, leaving to conclude for them life is not the way. But every problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life too hard,
have a talk with God. I thank you all for taking the time to listen. I pray that something was said that might encourage you to be the best that you can be. I love you all. Have a great evening, and we'll be back Sunday night at 8 p.m. Good night, everyone. Love you all.
Good night. Love you too. Good night. Thank you.